This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
All right, we are gearing up for a big night tonight. We'll come back with a lot of baseball talk in, half hour. Aaron Goldsmith going to join me from Milwaukee as they get ready to go tomorrow on their first road trip of the season. Brock's got a draft profile at 9 o'clock, so a lot of cool sports to come. But G. Scott's here because it's going to be a big night tonight. Maura, Justin, and I are heading down.
Yeah.
Going to meet at G's house.
Come on, yeah!
And then the four of us are going to go to see Ludacris together.
Ludacris! Wait, hold on. You didn't bring me in to talk about the Mariners?
No. Can you do that tomorrow? We'll give you some time tomorrow. More time tomorrow.
I'm starting to get a complex here on this show.
Yeah.
This is a sports show.
Right.
I think that you would call me in to talk sports.
We do that often. We talk a lot of sports with you.
Okay.
But in this case.
Huh?
We just start talking to you. Right. How often do you take it to sports?
We used to schedule it to talk about certain topics, and then
you usually say we'll get to sports later. Yeah. But let's talk about Betsy.
We've gone Betsy. We've gone relationships. We've gone politics. We've gone.
How about Mara though lately?
Yeah.
How about Mara on the text line? Yeah. Like, hey. G, just want to let you know, I have nothing to say, but I'm here.
Maura's feeling feisty.
I just want you to feel supported.
She's feeling her oats.
Sometimes think that I don't want you to feel not acknowledged.
Okay.
Justin, do you feel like you and I are going to need to sit in between G and Maura tonight so that they don't, end up battling at
Absolutely
some point?
Not. I think we just let them have their way.
The thing is that you... listening right now, the listeners, and all of you all are responsible for this new Maura. Maura didn't used to be this way. Maura used to be, we had a vibe and a good relationship. Now it's kind of spicy.
Yeah. Well, she spends 4 hours a day hanging out with me.
We still have a good relationship.
Is it ranked?
We just realized that we are different text thread people. That's all.
Is it ranked? Is that what happened to you? Doing ranked every day?
I don't know. It's... What, 9 years of being a producer? Hosts are a lot.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. All right.
All right.
Text 509. Poor G really is high maintenance, isn't he? Yes. Most high maintenance person I know in my life. No one comes close. But we're all going to come down to your house this afternoon.
Let's go.
I heard that you've got food for everybody.
Yes. I'm going to have sushi. Because you all love sushi.
Yeah.
And Maura says she likes, a little wine. I'll get, have her.
Okay.
And then you. So check this out, everybody.
Oh,
I'm going to have all.
On.
I got to tell it. Yeah. I'm going to have all this food. And Mike Salk's like, I need to have. I need to have 4 ounces of meat.
I know.
And 4 ounces.
I know.
And can I use a skillet when I come to your house?
All right.
I like to cook.
I'm trying to, I'm going away in a month, and I just want to make sure I look my best. You got to have some discipline on this thing. So I'm showing a little discipline.
All right. So
bigger question I have for you.
What do you got?
What do I wear tonight? Because I don't really have anything appropriate to wear to Ludacris. And so... can you help me?
Zero to 10, what he's wearing right now, 10 being that's what you wear to the show. Where is Mike Salk right now based on what he's wearing?
Zero.
Zero. We told him you should dress him for the show.
Zero. So
I'm worried you just wouldn't have anything my size, though.
So last night I was packing because I knew that tonight I'd be hanging out with you guys.
Right.
So I'm packing.
You're going away for your birthday.
Going away for my birthday this weekend. And so I was getting all my stuff together then. And then I was like, wait a minute. What am I going to wear for the concert?
Right.
So I'm going to, what I would normally wear to a concert would be a 10. I'm going to dress at a 5 tonight.
So that you don't show us up.
On our behalf.
So we don't embarrass him by showing up with people who are also not dressed as a 10.
Right.
Because what if we go into EQC and they want to pull me to the side and say, sir, are you a pimp? And they pulled me to the side.
You just say, well, no, I just have pros in different area codes. You'd have been fine.
Oh, look at Mike's song.
Thank
with
you.
The good one right there.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. So so tonight,
do you have clothes that I could borrow to wear tonight?
I mean, I might.
That sounds like a no.
I might have a. I might have a hoodie or something. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just, you wear an XL. Like, I don't feel
XL.
Like.
Huh? Yeah, I'm an XL.
Do you have anything that's not an XL? Do you have any larges or anything that we like meet in the middle on or something?
I do. That's I do. Okay. I tell you what.
Okay.
Here we go.
I just want to feel comfortable.
Okay. I have a hoodie that's a large, and you have to commit to wearing it.
I commit.
Oh,
let's I like
go.
It.
Let's go.
Unless there is something offensive on it.
No.
Like, I'm not going to be, like, filmed, and then someone's like, oh, this isn't going to be like the bit that Colin Jost with Michael J, where right. they write each other's jokes. Yeah. As long as it's not like that, right. I'm in. I will wear whatever you want me to.
Okay, so you heard it. Here on the show.
I'll wear the sweatshirt.
Whatever it is that I have for you to wear, you're wearing it.
I'm awesome. Excited.
I'm 100% yes. in.
Okay, now.
What?
Will you wear a hat, too?
Sure, I'll wear a hat. I don't care.
Oh yeah.
Now, I don't want to be accused of cultural appropriation, though. Like, am I going to be okay? I'm, like, wearing whatever it is you put on me. all right, I will wear a hat okay. for sure. I will wear the sweatshirt.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't like, you know, look like a giant drape on me or okay. something. Like it's got to fit.
No, it's got to fit.
Okay. What gotcha. Should I, can I just wear jeans?
Yeah, wear jeans.
Blue jeans or these, you know, gray jeans, okay. What, do you
gray
care?
Gray
just
jeans
wear what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
bruh.
What you going to do with the shoes?
What do you want me to do with the shoes?
I mean, don't wear those.
Can I wear my 270s?
Sure.
Okay, I'll wear
those. Sure, wear the 270s. I do got a nice little shirt for you to wear.
Okay. All right.
I got that.
What do you guys think?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I can't
this.
Wait.
Justin, he's at a zero now. This will put him at a five?
No. Oh. This gonna put him at...
Okay.
It's going to put about a seven.
All about right. a seven.
About a seven.
About a seven.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This all right. is a lot of hype.
Justin, I'm going to be dressed as a seven. G's going to be dressed as a five.
Yeah.
You, I assume, are going to wear like some Mariner gear.
I'll probably end up wearing something like
that. That's kind of what it makes sense. That's kind of your look.
Justin, what you wearing this weekend, fam?
And hold on. Maura says she's just wearing like jeans and a t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
But she's just like, yeah, I don't care about you guys.
Maura's been, hold on. Maura, your dress code has been definitely a different area.
Maura's been all dressed up recently. She's been doing her hair, the whole thing. Yeah. But she says she's just going to be like, jeans and t-shirt, whatever. Yeah. Don't care about you guys.
425 says, what type of cologne?
Oh, you want me to put on the...
The Sauvage.
Yeah, I'll put the Sauvage on before I come down. Yeah, absolutely. I'll get some of those spritzes. Some pow. Yeah, then I'll be all ready.
All right, well, I got 2 minutes. Y'all gonna kick me off here, man. Y'all bring me in.
Yep.
You use me. You use me just to come in here and talk about this.
Actually, you have 2 minutes. Yeah. Let's let him talk.
I actually used you to just see if I could find the right thing to wear tonight because I had no idea what I was going to wear.
You're our fashion expert.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, that's all I got. I look forward to hanging out with you. And
all right.
Tomorrow morning, are we going to recap?
Yes.
Last night?
8:30 tomorrow as normal.
8:30 tomorrow.
We will recap the night.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing I will say. I'll make a trade with you. Okay. I will happily wear whatever you want, but you can't film me surreptitiously throughout the show.
Oh, that's fair.
No, filming me without my knowledge.
No, but we do have to. There's people that are listening to the show.
Yes.
They are going to need the payoff.
I didn't
they
say I pictures. Wouldn't take pictures.
They need pictures.
There will be pictures, but I do not want you filming me when I don't know about it and then posting, look at Salk dancing an idiot or something like that.
Nah.
I don't want that because I know how you act.
Nah.
You do
are
that,
you
though.
Are you going to dance like an idiot?
Yeah, probably. I'm just one man. There's only so much I can
do. Hey, how's our seats?
I don't know yet. I'll let you know when we get there. We'll all find out together.
I'm not used to that.
I know.
I'm not used to getting ready to go to a concert and you don't know about your seats.
I know. Well, you roll with me, man. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Give me some more Luda. Do we have a little bit more Luda we can hear to kind of let G go here? What Luda song are you most looking forward to hearing?
Oh!
Area codes?
Hey, this is me walking inside the EQC, and they're going to pull me off to the side and say, sir,
are you a pimp? Who are these?
We heard it every time you go and you greet them. What is it that you say to them when you come in the morning? You said, hey, it's my favorite. What? Right. Can't say that.
G's got to go. We'll come back here in just a moment with everything you need to know, and then we'll pay off this tomorrow. We'll see how the show goes. It's Brock and Salk, Sal Sports on 710. In small cities and states, I owe you 901. Matter of fact,
305. I'll jump off the G4. Check out the Box Yard across from T-Mobile Park featuring Hatback Bar and Grill, Steelheads Alley, and Victory Hall. The Box Yard is Soto's premier pre- and post-game destination with delicious bites and brews. For more info, visit mariners.com/boxyard.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Cantor Diamond. Greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. Meet us in our professional private Tacoma showroom by appointment only. CantorDiamond.com or globally by phone, email, or Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond. Cantor Diamond. Truly the best diamond prices.
Washington residents get special discounts on tickets and memberships all throughout May. Plan your vacation today and see Mopop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Open now. Tickets at mopop.org/vacation.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, it was an ugly day game for the Mariners. Did not look pretty at all. Really, right from the jump, it was terrible, I gotta tell you. I have no other way to sugarcoat that one. The offense did nothing. The defense was really terrible. 8 different plays I counted that could have been made but weren't necessarily ruled errors. 3 of them on Sebi Zavala, the backup catcher who was playing yesterday. Polanco had a tough day. Ty France had a time. It just seemed kind of be coming from all angles. And unfortunately, George Kirby didn't have his best stuff and wasn't able to get past it all.
It was good. We've seen better. You know, I think the sharpness, the crispness to the fastball, part of it was he just never really gotten any rhythm to get into all of his pitches. So, again, you know, he starts off, he had a really good curveball last time out. He goes to the curveball, hits the guy in the foot in the first inning, and then you know, it just kind of unraveled from there. Again, a lot going on out there. I think, you know, he, like all young pitchers, you get frustrated at times. And he got a little frustrated today, and he'll have to learn from that.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious being at the game. You could see him. You could see the frustration. I made the comp earlier. He looked like Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers when he just couldn't be around Isla Fisher because she was stomping around with her fingers in her ears. Like, yeah, I can't be around it. And that's kind of what Kirby looked like. These guys can't play, and I can't pitch, and just one of these terrible days, and I want out of here. Here's what he said afterwards.
Yeah, it's tough when you got a team that, you know, really swings a lot and makes good contact. And for me, you know, living in the zone a lot, you know, I run into those types of games. So, yeah, it was hard to get in a rhythm, mm-hmm. but not going to, you know, stray away from what I do well and fill up the zone, so.
I actually really like that. I like everything he said there. He's absolutely right that Cleveland's going to be a tough matchup for him. They are a pretty good contact team, and he's going to be in and around the zone, and that's not necessarily a great matchup, but good on him. I know I'm a good pitcher. I know I'm going to get back out there, and I thought he handled himself very well afterwards. Meanwhile, it was just kind of a lousy homestand in general, so now what?
Really coming into the ballpark today, I felt good about you know where our chances were. I don't think we played near what we're capable of offensively yet, but felt good about, you know, get into a tight game and figure out a way to win it and move on down the road, but it didn't happen. So, you know, first homestand, you know, end up 3-4, really didn't do much offensively at all. And, you know, we got to have to get that going. We go out on the road trip, but disappointing. You know, you shouldn't win a game. You shouldn't be in a game if you play like that. We didn't play well. Our guys know it. you know, we're capable of much better, and we need to pick it up there.
Yeah, again, I like the recognition from Scott. There's no just saying this is early and everything will just work out because of it, but also no panic because it is still early. It's only April 4th, and they've only played 7 games out of 162.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
As we get ready for the draft, 3 weeks now from today, we will be covering the first round of the NFL draft. Matt Miller from ESPN on with us yesterday, laid it out pretty simply for what he thinks the Seahawks should do at number 16.
I still think Tyron Murphy would be, you know, he's perfect for McDonald's defense. That's your Justin Madubuike type player. I would be very excited to see him there. Obviously, you know, offensive line has been something a lot of people have talked about. But if Byron Murphy's there, I think you take him. If he's not, then you talk about trading back.
Okay, well, that's, you know, would certainly make your defensive line a lot better. If you are going to trade back, what would you do and how would you end up fixing the offensive line issues? More for Miller.
I'll be excited to see what the offensive line want looks like. Mm-hmm. Is it Fatanu and you just plug him in at left guard? Is it, do you go back to those Michigan roots and say, hey, Zach Zenner is a guy who, you know, unfortunately had a late season injury. It's going to make him a much better value in this draft class. You wait on a Zach Zenner and say, okay, we've seen this, we're comfortable with it, you know, kind of marry the two systems together a little bit.
So a couple of different options there, and I would absolutely like to see them come through with one of those two players, specifically Zach Zenner, and I'll admit a little bit of bias there, but it'd be fun to get a guard like that who's maybe got the high-end talent but has slipped a little bit because of an injury. Seems like a nice way to upgrade a team in a really key spot.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Especially, I should say, because John has said he doesn't want to pay the kind of value that you have to get a top-tier guard. Okay, fine. Don't pay that value. Get Zach Zenner in the third or fourth round. He's a first or second round talent who you would be getting in a later round because he had a little injury. I love it. I would be happy to see them do something like that. It has been obvious for about a month now, but it is now official. The Kraken are out, not going to make the playoffs this year. The final blow, a 5-2 defeat in LA last night, gave up a hat trick to Trevor Moore, did not play well at all. Yeah, I don't really have anything positive to say about that game. Or really how the Kraken have played this year. Yeah, I'm kind of out of positive things to say. I also just, I've said this from the beginning, I feel like they need a little bit more toughness than we've seen. I would like to see somebody on the team that the other team has a little bit of fear, and that just has not been the case at all. I don't know if you saw the beginning.
A former Kraken in that Rangers Devils fight.
Well, that's
last
what I was about
night.
To play. I was actually, that's why I was pausing. I was looking for this sound. Yeah, Curtis McDermott, who they drafted in the expansion draft and then let go before he ever played a game for them, is one of the best fighters in the league, and this was how this game started. Devils-Rangers, rivalry matchup, some bitterness from a previous one.
Square Garden has seen its fair share of bouts on the canvas, on the ice. Go undercard tonight, Rempe and McDermott, the main event to open the hockey game.
Both sides. Lazar went the other side as well.
Jimmy Vesey and Lazar. Gaudreau has dropped them with Kevin Ball as well. Now it's 5-on-5. McDermott and Rempe exchanging blows. But everybody has gloves off at the Garden.
Dude, that's the way it should be, man. Like an old-fashioned rumble, line brawl, all five guys. I love when the two coaches say, fine, we're just going to put our two fighters out to start the game. Let's go.
And the refs let Rempe and McDermott finish. Like until they couldn't.
They tapped
out. They were tired.
Yeah, we're done.
And they never do that anymore.
They just tap. Yeah, we're done here. We have nothing left. Great fight. Great way to open it. I really do wish the Kraken had some people on their team that were of that same sphere. And yeah, Curtis McDermott could have been that guy. All right. That's everything you need to know a quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk show. Let's see. Not a lot. All right, Matt in Oregon says we need at least one video so Salk can't Photoshop it before it gets released.
Oh, yeah. We'll
like I have the ability to Photoshop. Like you think that's like a club in my bag. No chance. Please post the pictures. We will. Salk's outfit will most likely be full Skibbity Ohio. How dare you? We got some high school kids here.
Yeah, they saw the text too. They're like, is that Skibbity Ohio text?
Yeah. Yeah. They know about my unfortunate exactly Skibbity Ohio riz. It's not pretty. Fire Jerry. Yeah, that's probably going to happen here right off the bat. And then this one's the interesting one to me. It seems way more likely the Mariners lose 90 than win 90. because our hitting has always been bad, but this is on another level. Clearly, if the Mariners hit the way they have in the first seven games of the season, they will lose 90 games plus. You're right. Do you actually think that's going to happen? Do you think that there's going to be a Major League Baseball team with this talent on it that's going to hit 550 OPS for the season? I mean, I know that it's hard to like have faith in something that you're not seeing physically, and I'm frustrated. Wrote about my frustration, and for the first time here in an April situation, I've even said, I think Scott's going to have to maybe do something and act a little bit differently than he has. But you think based on 1 week of the worst hitting you've ever seen that this team is going to hit like that for an entire season? I got to tell you, I don't believe that at all. That just doesn't fit with anything I've ever seen in a baseball season in my 45, almost 46 years. So maybe they will lose 90. That's certainly possible. But I can't imagine there's even a world in which they could hit as poorly as they have over the course of the first week. All right, coming up next, Aaron Goldsmith will join us from Milwaukee. What needs to happen next? What can Scott do? What changes could be afoot? It's all coming up on Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710.
You're free now, free to stream beyond your wildest dreams, free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber, your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Massive, the power of pop culture, is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from artists Beyonce, Nirvana, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Cantor Diamond is the only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. Meet us in our professional Tacoma offices by appointment or globally by phone, email, Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond. Truly the best diamond prices, bestdiamondprice.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, rolling along here, Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710. Brock will have a draft profile coming up at 9 o'clock. And then, you know who's joining us at 9:30? The Groz. I haven't even really mentioned that today.
Gosh, it's been so long.
I know. We haven't talked to the Groz in a while. So we're going to do that at 9:30, check in with him and get some of his thoughts on the start of the season. And actually, I mean, really everything from Pete Carroll to Mike McDonald to the craziness at UW and the Mariner season. So we'll talk to the Groz coming up an hour from now. Yes, a huge focus of the morning has been the Mariners homestand, which just concluded 3-4, not 1-6, although that's certainly the way it felt. It was 3-4, but some real ugly play in there as well. Aaron Goldsmith journeyed with the team last night off to Milwaukee. Kind enough to take a few minutes with us this morning. Goldie, good morning.
Mike, good morning. I challenge you to ask one question like Brock would during this segment, will not be easy.
We only have 25 minutes. Generally, his questions take about 15. So what you're hoping for is what, two questions?
Well, I don't know. I just want to see you channel your inner Brock. I think we all do. That's all.
All right. So let me start by talking about my children and then kind of go on from there. Ask you about your body and how your hair is handling the humidity in Wisconsin. All right. So we just had a homestand that was suboptimal. Let's say that. Of the things you saw, because there's a lot of panic in the streets today, what was actually concerning and what was not concerning?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I didn't channel my inner Brock. I started off by asking you a good question right off the bat.
Yeah, it really makes me think. Well done. I think I'm not
okay, like I'm also thinking kind of like short term, long term. Like, let's start with the defense, right? Like, I'm not terrified by the defense. I think after yesterday, it could be easy to say, throw your hands up in the air and say, oh, well, this is going to be the worst defensive team in baseball, right? Like, I don't think that's true. And I think the defense can get better. They certainly have the right infield coach to do that in Perry Hill. And I think we have seen certainly the fruits of his labor during his time here, right? Like, J.P. Crawford, when he came to Seattle, was far from what he is right now. Eugenio Suarez, when he finished his tenure in Seattle, he looked a lot different defensively than when he initially got here. That's hard work by the players, and it's hard work by Perry Hill. So I think that gets better. The difference is, Mike, it doesn't get better immediately tomorrow, right? Like, that will need to evolve and might take a little bit of time as the season goes on. Offensively, like, that's the other concern, right? I think the Mariners obviously swung and missed quite a bit. I think that there's a good chance that levels out based on opponent. I find it very interesting that over the first seven games, not only did the Mariners see the fewest four and two seam fastballs in baseball, they saw the fewest four and two seam fastballs in baseball by far, like outlier lowest amount, 30% four and two seamers. Nobody else was especially close to that. So I think they obviously need to learn to make some in-game adjustments with that. But I also think that that number is not sustainable, and there will be more fastballs in their crystal ball when they look into the future. But for right now, both those things are a concern. I don't necessarily think that they will plague the team for 162 games at this level.
Yeah, it's a weird start to the season, right? Because there have been some sloppy elements that I think are concerning, at least to me. And then there have been other things where it's like, well, Julio Calraly, Jorge Polanco, and, well, certainly those three, none of them have, and Mitch Garver, none of them have hit a home run yet this year. Like, I don't feel like that's something that's likely to go for 162 games.
Yeah, I mean, like, Shohei just hit his first home run yesterday, and they played two games before the Mariners ever stepped on the field for opening day, right, in Korea. So I don't – and Yordan Alvarez hadn't homered until yesterday. Like, the timing of when a guy first hits a home run or first – now, if they hadn't had a hit yet, that would be like, okay, well, you know, I kind of want to get that monkey off your back. But, like, that kind of thing, I'm not fazed by that at all. I haven't written down – a single player's offensive numbers for either the Mariners or their opponents for the first seven games. I was actually just thinking, like, I might start doing that tomorrow. We've been in for a week. I might start jotting some of those things down. But the reason I do that is not to put my head in the sand. I know there are people listening who think that. It's simply because, you know, it's the smallest of small samples, and anything good or bad can happen in whatever it is, 20 plate appearances for a player. It does take time things to level out, and so I'm not concerned whatsoever. I mean, Polanco, like, you saw it, I'm sure, if the wind wasn't blowing, he would have had a home run. The wind blew his home run 14 feet to the right and like 2 feet foul. So things happen. He could easily have a home run. He could have easily maybe cleared the bases, but it was like 100 and something off the batting cop by the first baseman. So I know people don't want to hear that. I understand the frustration, but that is kind of the way this game works sometimes. Look at some of the dink and dunk hits that the Guardians had. Now, hey, credit to them. They made it work, and they won the games, at least two of them. But sometimes there is some batted ball luck involved, and I think Polanco is certainly a victim of that a couple of times at least.
If you were Scott Servais, you know, his approach has always been really to kind of stay the course, and the patience has certainly paid off for him with some really great Julys and Augusts the last couple of years. Do you handle anything differently right now than he has in the past?
The only thing different that I'm kind of curious about, and it is a little behind the curtain and inside baseball, and I don't know how much the Mariners want to broadcast these things yet, is, you know, I was really excited. I think others were also, about the addition of Brant Brown. The Mariners were very, very aware of the offensive struggles last year. I think that's we can cite many examples of their awareness of that. And one of them was bringing in Brant Brown. And Brant Brown has a very good track record of success as a major league hitting coach with the Marlins most recently, and before that, the Dodgers, and was a former big league hitter himself. And I've spent a lot of time around Brant over the years. He's a tremendous communicator, a very smart man. And I don't think we know exactly how his role is going to be imparted on a daily basis, preparing for the opponent. I don't think that that's the Mariners trying to hide something behind a cloak. I just think it's they're getting this thing off the ground, right? And they're figuring out his role on a day-to-day basis, how to attack the opposing starting pitcher. I mean, that is such a major part of what Brant Brown does. And I think this is going to maybe take a little time to get some traction. And I don't think you change anything. I think you keep banging the same message, because right now my sense is, Mike, that there are maybe three, maybe four, maybe some days two guys who are taking that plan of action and implementing it. And it can't be two doing it and seven not, right? It needs to be the vast majority, if not hopefully all nine. So I think that's something that's probably taking some traction. But no, I wouldn't change a thing in terms of process after seven games.
Do you think you have a good sense as to what that is supposed to look like and the way it's supposed to play its way out? I mean, I know, you know, the past it's been control the zone, which I've always taken to mean, you know, essentially make good swing decisions, but also it has led to a lot of patience, right? A lot of deep counts. So you should end up with a lot of the three true outcomes, walks, home runs and strikeouts. I'm not saying that for your benefit, but for some others who maybe aren't as familiar with the term. And it feels like this year we've heard a little bit more of an emphasis on contact as opposed to patience, and maybe even as opposed to power. And I'll admit that concerns me a little bit. I know the contact was an issue last year, but any concern that they maybe have traded it for you know, traded some of the contact and power, or some of the patience and power for some contact?
Well, I'll answer that a couple of different ways. One of my concerns early in the offseason, when the plan was clearly to go this direction, trade in power and home runs for the ability to put the ball in play, I was concerned, well, like how much are the Mariners going to skew towards the Guardians style of play?
Right.
Right. Now, it's a little scarring because the Guardians just put eight runs across. But if you look at the Guardians last year, you know, they were this complete outlier team, last in home runs, nearly first in contact, and bottom line, they were 26th in runs scored. That's the finish line.
And you should point out that the Mariners were 12th in runs scored last year. When I've asked people that question, they are like, "Oh, they must have been 25th," or no, they were 12th.
No, it's a good point. And bottom line is, how many runs are you pushing across on a nightly basis, right? I really do genuinely believe that the lineup they have, now they might not have a ton of 30 homer guys, right? But I think there is consistent power by and large up and down the order. You have plenty of guys with 20 plus homer potential. It's not a bunch of pea shooters. And the other way I would answer that question, I've had a couple of conversations with Scott already this year about kind of, let's just call it offensive philosophy, And dominate the zone is still a core philosophy to this organization for both sides of the ball. One of the things that is clearly a point of emphasis this year is what they call the green box. In the clubhouse, before every game, there is a video on loop of the opposing starting pitcher, and both pitching to righties and then to lefties. And there is a green box overlaid over the strike zone. And where that green box is where that hitter gives up the majority of his hits to either righties or lefties. So one of the messages is hunt the green box, right? If you're a right-handed hitter and you know that today's opposing starting pitcher gives up the majority of his hits up and in to right-handed hitters, and that's the strength of yours, hunt the green box. I don't think the Mariners have a huge problem in this particular example that I'm kind of fabricating, but it could be tomorrow's starter, right? If you're a right-handed hitter and you chase a pitch up out of the strike zone, up and in, okay, at least you were aggressive and attacking a pitch that you know that's where he gives up his hits, okay? The problem is, if on the preceding pitch you chase low and away, and then the next pitch you chase up and in, right? You can't be chasing them all over the strike zone and always a step behind. Know your strength, know his weakness. Hopefully there is some, the Venn diagram overlaps a little bit there, and chase that green box. I think that is one of the messages this year that maybe it's been there before. I'm certainly kind of new to hearing that. I'm guessing that might be a Brant Brown influence.
Yeah.
But that is definitely chase the green box. Is if we were to mic up the dugout, I would guess that every night we would hear that quite a bit.
Very interesting. Well, let's hope that that starts working, because I do think you're right. I do think there's an ability for this offense to certainly look a lot better than it has. Like, I don't think they're going to have a 550 OPS for the season. I don't think any offense, even the A's, couldn't put up a 550 OPS for an entire season. Okay. So how about on the other side of things, pitching, and maybe, you know, Luis Castillo, what do you think it's been? I mean, neither outing was that bad, but also neither outing really looked like vintage Castillo. It doesn't look like it's a velocity thing. It didn't really look like a stuff thing. What did you make of his two outings?
Yeah, I've given this some thought, and I was actually thinking about this on the bus at like midnight last night, driving to the hotel. And I've got such an interesting life, as you can tell.
Clearly, yes.
And, and I haven't, I guess I would say, like, vetted this with anyone yet. But my initial thought, you know, Castillo is a really unique pitcher in terms of his mechanics. And I'm no pitching guru, but I've heard enough people who are talk about it, right? He's very rotational. He's very east to west, okay? Is that right? Yeah, east to west, left to right. And I think that is one of the things, one of the attributes that makes him difficult, because there aren't guys who are like that, who are major league starting pitchers, at least ones that are successful, because it is a pretty hard group of mechanics to consistently repeat. Like, compare that to George Kirby. George Kirby has a super smooth, super clean delivery, which is not a surprise. And you add to that his natural ability to command the baseball. Like, it's almost never where you're saying, man, George's mechanics are just out of whack today, right? Because it's really near impossible for that to happen. For Castillo, just based on his mechanics and how unique they are, that does happen. And I think a pitcher who is in his style, which again isn't many, I think there is just a greater probability that over the course of 30 some odd starts, you will find yourself in a bit of a mechanical rut. I haven't heard Scott or Pete Woodworth necessarily cite to that in his first couple of starts, but I can't really imagine it being much more. Like, if you go back to opening day, as you saw, Mike, like, his first X number of fastballs were all sprayed away from left-handed hitters, right? And now maybe some of that was the adrenaline, the excitement. You had 44,000 people there. It's opening day. But I would expect Castillo, a guy with his resume and his heartbeat, after an inning, to chill, because we've seen that happen before so many times. I don't think that that heartbeat played into it in the second game, right? So I'll be curious what the third start is. I'm not just kicking the can down the road, but I am also saying, like, almost anything can happen in two starts. It's magnified 10x when it's the first two starts. You're right. They weren't terrible starts, but they certainly weren't Castillo quality.
Right.
He holds himself to a higher standard than that, and the Mariners do as well. So I'll be curious what it's like second or third and fourth time through, but that's kind of my take on it. After watching the first two starts.
Yeah, it's a great point about his mechanics. I had not thought about how unique they are. I mean, the one pitcher that he always reminds me of is Pedro, but that is more probably because of the pitch selection, right? And some of the movement he gets on it. And, you know, I know that was I think that's by design. I mean, I think, like, a lot of pitchers of his age, and especially those who grew up in the Dominican, Pedro's a pretty powerful figure to try to model yourself after. But yeah, I mean, that whip-like delivery, I'm sure, can be a challenge to repeat over and over again.
And to be fair, you know, his first three innings in his second start against the Guardians looked really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he had six strikeouts through three. I thought maybe the third inning in particular, like, it was one of the better changeups we've seen from Castillo in some time. That's a pitch that he really got away from last year. that, of course, you know, years ago was his calling card. That's what he was most known for. It took him to All-Star games. So it wasn't like in his last start it was subpar the whole time. I think it just, for whatever reason, it diminished as his night went on.
Let me go back to something you mentioned earlier. I wanted to follow up on it, and that is that you know, the Mariners saw the most, would you say, the most spin by a, or the fewest number of fastballs by such a large margin in the league. And you said, I don't see that continuing, at least not at that level. Are you sure? I'm wondering, like, hey, if I'm another team and I'm looking at this and I saw the amount of success that a team had doing that against the Mariners, A, not only would I be looking to do it myself against them, you know, we chatted with Passan, who was pointing out that the number of fastballs has essentially decreased by about a percentage point a year over the last 5 or 6 years. And I do wonder if at some point more pitchers work backwards and we do see fewer and fewer fastballs in the league.
Well, you know, I think this is, like, for me, this is such a fun conversation because I think people want to chalk up offense being down to velocity.
Mm-hmm.
And that does play a factor. There's no question. Last year, the average four-seam fastball was 94 miles an hour. That is the highest it's ever been. I mean, like, if you go back to whenever, the 90s, like, if a guy's blowing 94, you're like, whoa, this guy's pumping some heat. You know, like the Randy Johnsons of the world were the aliens. Now there are more and more Randy Johnsons, not to his skill level, but to his stuff level. Really, in my mind, it's the spin, right? There's more spin. It's being thrown at greater velocity. And there are more guys than every staff doing exactly that. And the Mariners are leading the charge there. I mean, this is one of the reasons why the Mariners pitching staff has been so great is because although they do have a fastball dominant rotation, they still have so much spin, especially in that bullpen. Just look at Andrés Muñoz. Like, there's a reason why Muñoz throws his slider more than his 99-mile-an-hour fastball. The slider is harder to hit, you know, than a 100-mile-an-hour heater. Going back to your other question, I think it's a fair one. When the season's said and done, will the Mariners be the team that sees the fewest amount of four- and two-seam fastballs? Maybe. Like, somebody has to be at the bottom of that list, right?
Right.
But I guess my point is I don't think it'll be to this extreme level. Right now, just four- and two-seam fastballs, 30%. So it's 70% cutters, changeups, sliders, curveballs, splitters,
yep,
you name it. The thing is, and I talked to Scott Servais about this prior to game one against Cleveland, I asked him, how much harder is it to hit a fastball if you don't see any fastballs? And I almost couldn't get my question out before you said, it is so much harder.
Right.
I think that's the thing, right? Like, your fastball as a pitcher will play up if you're just throwing a bunch of junk up there, a bunch of spin. Now, all of a sudden, your 95-mile-an-hour heater looks like, I don't know, 98. But the other thing is, I don't know if you remember, this is a super grain of sand on the home stand. Mitch Haniger had an at-bat late in the game against a Red Sox reliever, and it was just sweeper, sweeper, sweeper. And one thing that stood out to me about the Red Sox, and one of the reasons why I think that it might not be to this level, is they had a bullpen in particular that was just spotting one sweeper to a right-handed hitter after another. I mean, they were never a ball out of hand, almost never. They were right there on the edge or just off the plate. And Mitch had seen, I don't know how many breaking balls right on the corner or just off that he's fouling off, fighting away. And then he pops in, like pitch 6 or 7 or 8 of the at-bat. He pops in a 95-mile-an-hour heater right over the plate. Mitch gets locked up, strike three called.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure every fan in the stands is like, what are you doing? You just took 95 down the chute. You're Mitch Haniger. Move the bat forward. But what Scott told me was, I've got no problem with Mitch taking that pitch. As a big league hitter, you can only cover so much, right? The guy's got a split and a sweep and a fastball, and all he's doing is throwing you splitters and sweepers. Like, you can't cover three pitches in three areas of the plate. You can't cover the fastball middle in, the splitter at the knees and below, and the sweeper off the plate and on the edge. Like, you just can't. I don't care how good of a hitter you are, even if you're Mitch Haniger. So you have to start to eliminate something in your process, and Mitch eliminated the fastball, and they popped him one. Like, it's a hard game. That's what you have to do. I don't think it's going to be 30% for the rest of the year. To your point, do they see the most when game 62 rolls around? Yeah, maybe. They have to prove. They have to prove they can do something to it.
Or at least lay off of it and allow those pitches to go and start to work your walks again. No accident that the game where they finally broke out offensively was the game where they actually took some walks and put a little more traffic on the base pass that way. All right. Unfortunately, we have to go. I could sit here talking baseball with you for the rest of the morning, but we're out of time. But have fun in Milwaukee and Toronto. Hopefully we start to see a little bit better baseball than we watched yesterday. I have a feeling we will. Aaron, thank you. We appreciate it. Talk soon.
Wonderful to talk to you, Michael. See you, dude.
All right, there you go. There's Aaron Goldsmith and a really, really fun, interesting, deep baseball conversation with a guy with some cool insight. That I've not heard the green zone thing, and that is hit the green box. That is a very interesting idea on how to kind of get these guys moving in the right direction. But if there was one concerning thing I heard from Aaron, there was really only one. It is, I don't know how many guys yet are actually trying to implement the strategy. That's a pretty interesting one. Might take a little time. And Brant Brown, part of the allure is supposed to be, comes in and says, hey, you know who did this? Mookie Betts. Right? You know who did this? Freddie Freeman. You're better than them? They listened. You don't want to listen? So I'll be very curious to see how long something like that goes, because that, of all the things I heard and of all the things I've seen, probably the one that got my radar up more than any other. All right, Brock's going to be back here in a moment. He's going to give us a draft profile today, and he's promised us a wide receiver. Is that right? We have a wide receiver. Very exciting. Stick around. You guys will hear it next. Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.